Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, Expert Edition, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua.
Ooh, this episode feels really special.
We did it. This is for real this time. The future we envisioned this week is actually happening. This is a clip show to bridge the gap between our regular show and the break of the rebroadcast of the four Road of Democracy panel conversations that will be coming up in the next 4 weeks.
And just because David calls it a clip show, please don't hold the mental model that you're just getting scraps from the floor and that we're trying to make a stew out of it that David probably did in his past lives of a chef, that he had to convert the ham into like a ham and cheddar stew for like the next day, right? Like that's not what we're talking about. We construct these shows. Actually, we do extra interview time with our guests. And what's really fun about that extra time is we really come from a place of curiosity and we want them to light up. So we actually invite them to talk about, they don't even talk about what they just talked about, just whatever lights them up in terms of what they pay exquisite attention to, because we're really curious about that. And so that's what you're going to get from our upcoming guests, which include Christina Gomez from Milwaukee Public Library System, who is actually going to talk about playlists, the construction of them, especially around emotion, trying to invoke emotion around them. And then followed by Rosie Petrie, who is with This is Paradise Home. And she'll talk about functional art, about where she finds it and what she looks for. And then finally, we close out by hearing from Gabe Yeager and Beth Wyrick of the Milwaukee Downtown Business Improvement District, the BID. And they're going to nerd us out around what they see when they walk around other cities, what they pay attention to, a functional art of its own. What does it feel like to walk around and what do they like to steal for Milwaukee Downtown? So that's what's coming up after the break. But before then, plugs.
Plugs. Oh, we get the plug.
We get the plug.
Be sure you join us for the live stream this Friday at noon for the Road of Democracy Conversations Panel 1, our journey on this road of democracy. We will be bringing together Supervisor Supreme Moore Omukunde, Leanna Nikielski, Melody McCurtis from the Metcalf Park Community Partners, and also Dr. Robert Smith from Marquette University to talk about how we have been together on this road of democracy and how we might be able to continue building a strong, inclusive, and welcoming road going forward in the future from the elected official perspective, from the business perspective, from the nonprofit community leader perspective, and from the academic perspective. So that's going to be a really, really great and exciting panel. These panels will be happening all through October. Fridays at noon. Our first one is this Friday at noon over Facebook. So find us on the Facebook event and click attend, and we are looking forward to seeing you.
I like to call it Rocktober because these events.
Rodtober.
That's right. Rocked. Oh, Rodtober. I said Rocktober, but I like Rodtober better. That's even better. Speaking of that, the other panels to follow. On the 9th and 16th. The 9th is being a citizen artist. We've been talking about this notion, like when we had Anne Basting on, to talk about the intersection of how artists can not just execute and produce amazing art, but it's also art towards social ends, if you will, right? And so we'll be talking with our panelists there. We're hoping to lock those in soon. And then panel after that on the 16th, sorry, yeah, no, on the 23rd, thank you. That's the 16th is being a citizen artist. And then on the 23rd, art as a driver for racial justice change. So we're going to have community leaders as well as artists themselves who look at art through that lens. And definitely in the city of Milwaukee, it's incredibly relevant and urgent. So excited to have that conversation then. So stay tuned for those, and then we'll actually have a couple more to round out the month.
The last panel will be a review of all of the commissions that we'll be doing, all the Road to Democracy commissions that we'll be doing over the course of the month. So it'll be very interesting. And if it's not clear, we are going to be taking a break from this podcast and actually rebroadcasting the live streams on our show for the next four shows, which means that imagination, please blow up those hashtags to tell us that you miss us.
Imagination MKE, send us emails at pod@imagine.mke.org as well. Let us know what you miss.
And coming in after the election, I think we're going to have a slate of really incredible guests queued up for you. So we know you'll enjoy the panels. We know you're going to enjoy this series of expert insights coming up, and we will see you in a month.
Yeah, but don't go anywhere, because after the break,
go anywhere.
Christina Gomez, followed by Rosie Petrie, and then tag team of Gabe Yeager and Beth Weirich. And then we'll see you in a month. Stick around.
So I want to know what music makes you cry. And sorry if that's a strange thing to say, but I think about how our connection to music is so deeply personal, and how I feel I have a special connection to you or a unique understanding of you when I know what songs you listen to when you're anxious, or what songs you listen to if you're in a somber mood, or you're feeling elated, or you're celebrating, or maybe you're not feeling any kind of way, but hearing a song puts you in that place. Thinking a lot about, you know, what have you decided to play at this party, or what song makes you think of me or your mom, or your best friend from middle school. You know, thinking about this as another dimension of someone's internal life that can be shared with others or not. It could be kept personal. And it makes it feel incredibly special when you do get that insight. So I had a conversation with someone last month who was supposed to have a baby shower in person, but needed to move that to a virtual setting, and was trying to think of ways to make it special and not like, you know, a Skype meeting or anything. And so one thing that they decided to do, inspired by a book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker, was to invite each attendee to share two songs that will be added to the mother's birthing playlist. So a song that reminds that person of the mother, and then a song that they think should be played during the birth moment. And their kind of feedback from that is how special it made them feel to have these curated playlists from close friends, and how there's now this gift that exists for the child to have kind of a unique perspective on their birth moment. So yeah, I want to know what music makes you cry.
Christina, I think that's lovely. And I always want, I hope the answer isn't embedded in it, but I can imagine that there takes a level of vulnerability to even like, even answer that question. I'll share sometimes, like when somebody asks me what you're listening to, what you dig, I'll have this microsecond of they're going to judge me, right? Or this has got to be really good. And I sort of wonder, do you have, how do you set an environment that invites someone to like, or invites me to let that go, as opposed to maybe going to therapy to let that go? Right? Maybe that's the thing, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, cause I think you're right. Music's so intimate, and it's so like, oh, I'm not cool. Or maybe I'm too cool. I don't know. Right? Like, you know, right? I don't know. Does that resonate at all? Or just, I just wonder. I don't know. What
definitely. Do you have a reaction to that? I mean, it makes me think of, like, how do you get someone to tell you a secret? Like, you have to have that relationship established already. You can't say, hey, tell me a secret. It's fine. Like, if they don't believe it, there's a reason they don't believe it. So
that doesn't work. That's right. Okay. I'm not the only one that doesn't work. All right, cool. I just want to make sure. I thought it was just me. I thought it was my personality. Right. Yeah. What you're saying is there has to be an implicit trust, or somehow you are trustworthy or perceived as one, to get that secret. Someone, what was the last time someone shared with you? So you don't have to say what it is, but like it made you like wonder or like change your whole mental model of that person.
Well, so my partner is a classic rock fan, which God only knows how that happened.
Wait, you know, God only knows how he likes classic rock, because it's a pretty big genre. I don't
know how. Yeah, how I ended
up. Okay, I just want to make sure it's you. It's about you. It's not like him. Yeah. It's not his problem.
No.
I just want to make sure that we're clear. All right, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is like a 90s R&B girl right here. So
nice.
Our like cultural references in terms of music completely miss each other. And a lot of times it's more surprised when I share a song that has a deep resonance with me and it doesn't click with the other person. It's not necessarily negative, but it's just like, oh, so like you don't cry when you hear this Selena song, or, you know, like Selena doesn't take you back to middle school. Like, yeah. So that's been interesting, but it also like, it just, again, it adds this other dimension, I guess, to our relationship specifically. So like hearing some of his kind of, you know, music that takes him back to a high school moment or a really significant place. And it's a song I've literally never heard before, heard of. It broadens my musical like understanding and universe.
We work together, we're heroes through and through.
Like the foundation of our homes, we stand together, Milwaukee strong.
Through the fire, through the rain, our tomorrow.
I start by looking around my house. This is actually one of the easiest things to do right now because nobody's going anywhere, right? So when I think about functional art, I think about obviously quilts. I own more than what is a normal number of quilts for one person. Textiles are functional art, so that could be clothes, outfits, fashion. It could also be soft home goods. So like at our house, we're really into cloth napkins, but I always have really like beautifully textured cloth napkins. I purchased an antique headboard for myself because it was so beautiful. I couldn't imagine sleeping on anything else after I spent an exorbitant amount of money at a secondhand shop to get this beautiful hand-carved wooden bed. One of my greatest personal joys is freshly polished wood grain, like looking at it. And like the curvature in the craftsmanship, the shape, the line, it's almost like an Art Deco, Art Nouveau, like deeply textured, very three-dimensional kind of thing. And then above that, like I've got a quilted sari framed. You know, so like just looking at things like that, or like something like a beautiful teapot, you know, I have a collection of serving ware, you know, that kind of stuff. Like that's all functional art. When it opens up, treat yourself to a foray at Antiques on Pierce. I go there, it's like three stories. And sometimes my husband just drops me off when I have a bad attitude and he picks me up in a few hours. It's like going to a museum. And I walk through with like I'll make notes if I see something interesting. So it's like a combination of antiques and like furniture and like some industrial things. Sometimes you can find like really beautiful vintage jewelry. They've got a little bit of everything, you know, and like there are a lot of other dealers and places that you can buy stuff, but just for general variety and also I would say quality of antiques or vintage things. When you're buying things for actual practical use, you need them to be sturdy and to hold up to your use. They're not just for looking at, you know, so I need things that are well crafted and beautiful that I can enjoy using, you know. So like I remember my first like treasured piece of functional art was a copy of the Complete Works of Shakespeare with gilded pages, hardbacked books, And I bought it at a garage sale. And I think the lady just thought it was cute that I wanted it. And she gave it to me for 25 cents. But I wore that book out. Like right now, obviously, you can't go to an antique shop. But what you can maybe do is like, check out your attic. I bet you there's boxes in there that you've totally forgotten about. It's the same thing.
Well, absolutely. I'm going to say if you ask Beth next, we'll probably have very similar answers because we tend to think about the same things when we go into public spaces. But I would say I think the power of 10, so Project for Public Spaces, is that came out with this principle that there's 10 elements of activation in one specific space, in a confined space. So I think one correlation that we see when we're starting the work at Cathedral Square Park is Bryant Park in New York City, really as the staple of an activated public green space that, you know, it has a cafe, it has a carousel, movable tables and chairs, it has play sets, it has, you know, places to grab a, you know, picnic or coffee. So all of those elements, how do we make it work in Cathedral Square Park? And I don't really think it's that far-fetched. I think that's a great public space and an aspiration for Cathedral Square Park. So as we begin that work, that's, you know, one thing that we look for. But I think the other part of it too is just comfortable edges. When you approach a place that has, you know, that's fenced off or seems like you, there's real no clear pathway to get into the space, it typically gives the user, or maybe it's concrete furniture that's very hard and forgiving, it really starts to suggest to the user that it's not a friendly place. And unfortunately, that's the majority of design, not here in Milwaukee, but majority of design across the country. We really haven't thought about the pedestrian at the forefront. For so many reasons, we've been thinking about the automobile first. So I think reshifting that focus in the design will ultimately have some really great public spaces in the future. Yeah, we've been experimenting quite a bit. Even, you know, if you find a pop-up Jenga or pop-up Connect 4 on West Wisconsin Avenue, or maybe it's an ice sculpture, those are all activations that we're trying to do to encourage people to rethink what's possible in the public right away. And I think now we're really seeing it as we expand cafe seating for COVID-19 capacity restrictions. Across the country, the biggest trend right now is increasing the footprint of restaurants on the street. So we're going to be seeing some of that downtown already happening on the east side of Milwaukee. So, you know, we're always talking about rethinking our public spaces and trying to get other people to think with us.
Milwaukee strong like black coffee, yeah. Milwaukee black and brown, so please change policy, yeah. Milwaukee less work or ended poverty, Milwaukee growing, let's make sure that we grow it properly, yeah. Milwaukee home, so let our love show. Milwaukee special, invest in the homegrown talent. We all searching for balance, united the good lands, approaching all of our challenges.
I think you'd probably relate to what I'm going to say, Mac, and so much of it is just the vibe and the energy of how you just, how do you feel when you're in that space? I mean, there's so much to be said for the EQ, right? The emotional quotient and how people connect in a space. I always love to see, is it a great wide representation of the community that's in a space? I love to see how people walk and are the sidewalks even? Is there good flow? Is it ADA accessible? Do we take care of our edges and soften them with flowers or beautiful artwork and sculpture? Is it easy? Is there wayfinding? You know, how does the litter system work? I mean, there are so many great things. It doesn't matter if I'm in London and St. James Park and you can, you know, rent a chair for, you know, a couple of pounds and grab a sandwich from a vendor and just sit in the park and watch people and babies, you know, dogs, what have you, or if there's people punting in the Thames River, or I remember when I was in Malaga, Spain, you know, one of my favorite photographs is these men that were probably in their 80s and 90s sitting around in this tiny little village in this little fountain, and they had all the space and they were just like tucked right next to one another and just engaged in conversation. So I think we think about creating spaces where people feel like they can just be, whether you're walking to a meeting or whether you're enjoying time with family. I think that that's really critical. And I always look at the baseline. Is it clean? Is it safe? Is it friendly? Is it beautiful? And I think it's so important how we all interact. It is just this beautifully synchronized movement in a great city. And I think the way a city is planned and the way our streets are laid out and the green spaces, and are there places where people can get respite and shade and grab great food and listen to other people laughing or wonderful music? So there's so many things. I mean, if you saw photographs from me traveling, you know, I'm taking pictures of the way a rail meets, you know, a sidewalk curb or bus stop shelters or light rail stops or, you know, pedestrian wayfinding signage or hanging baskets, you know, or sidewalk treatments. Like, would that ever work in the Midwest? So, you know, I think we study all of those very small, minute elements because the details are really important.
Good night, the walking strong.